and that I have sensed, for some reason, by the Lord's mercy, that He's chosen to move in a few places in these last few days. And we've been privileged where we've been in a few places to sense His presence and to see some marvelous works. So I'm glad all of that is up to Him. But I like to be where it's happening and to be a part of it. And certainly we've come this way this week just to wait on the Lord and see what He has for us. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to John's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 21. And I'm going to borrow some help to read some verses, which is not my normal, but I noticed that when I listen to some of your pastor's preaching, he does it quite often. So I feel the liberty to do so. I'm not going to do like one preacher, though. He said, take your Bibles and turn it to anywhere you'd like, and I'll be by there directly. So that would be bad. I'm going to start off here with Brother Earl and Sister Sylvia, and I'm going to have Brother Earl turn to Isaiah 9, verse 6. Just hold that. And Sister Sylvia, if you'll go to Matthew 1, verse 21. And Brother, if I could borrow you and go to Genesis 21, verse 2 and 3. And Brother Lester, I'm going to let you rest and go over to Ernie and give him Hebrews 11, 23. Brother Gerald, I'll give you 1 Samuel 1, 20. And let's see, I'll give you Songster, Ruth 4, 17. And I think that'll be enough, but I'll call on you here in a minute. Whenever I come to Laura Baptist Church, I don't even think of, because this is one of two churches that I go to that I get booed if I don't preach long enough. Well, you don't boo me. I can just tell you, you're thinking you ain't getting your money's worth. And that's pretty good. And you'll be thrilled to know this. Me and Brother Tom Hayes was it wasn't a service. We was in this place together, and there's several preachers there. So they asked both of us, said, where do you think that you could find help the most, what churches you go to where you think that there's the most help? And both of us said, well, there's a little old church down there in Stark Baptist called Laura Baptist, Laura. And said, if you'll head down there, you won't get no thrills, no chills, and no entertainment, but there's plenty of worship. And both of us agreed to that. But they didn't understand that when I told them that y'all believed in social drinking. I had to clarify that. I said, just be careful of those two styrofoam cups up there, because the whole church drinks out of them. They don't. I learned that the first time I come here. But anyway, it sure is good to be here. And we praise the Lord for that. Now, in John's Gospel, chapter number 6, I'll read one verse there. It said, a woman when she... Chapter 16, I'm sorry. I'll give you the... I'm sorry. Yeah. A woman when she is in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. As the Lord would lead this morning and possibly throughout the week, I'm going to try to preach on what I call Bible births. Bible births. And I'm talking about those births in the Scripture that seem to stand out and prevail. And as I look at these births, and as I began to ponder them, I realized that really everything lives off of birth. As there's no birth, there's no life, no energy. There's really nothing. When you think about creation, it began with the birth. Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God moved or brooded, gave life to creation. We think about populations as far as mankind and everything, every creature. Everything you see comes off of a birth, a birthing experience. Even when we think about incarnation, Christ coming into this world, a birth took place, born of a woman. Salvation, we know, of course, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever, is a birth. On the human realm, as far as history is concerned, in this world, everything has come out of and lived off the energy of different births. But I'm interested in these births, these major births that came on the scene as far as the Word of God is concerned. And John talks about this matter of a birth in verse number 21 of chapter 16. Of course, you're looking at me as a man and you're saying, well, what do you know about having babies? Well, my wife had four. And as any man would tell you, he'd about soon have them as his wife go through it. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But I do claim that I've had one baby, literally. Because now you're looking at me strange. I went to the hospital with a kidney stone. And that nurse told me she had three young'uns and she'd had a kidney stone and she'd rather have the babies. So I said, well, I've had one baby. My daughter-in-laws hate that. My daughters, when I go to tell them what to do during the time of having a child, I say, well, I know, I've had a baby. But my baby didn't have no life. And it was so small, you had to put it under a magnifying glass. So it didn't really count. But I'm thinking about these births that have taken place as far as the Word of God is concerned and how the Lord seemed to magnify them and to bring them to life so that we could see them. Bible births. Now, I want to use those that have these references that I have mentioned and lay a foundation by noting that these Bible births they're named. They're brought to our attention because a name is connected to the child that is born. And I'll begin over here, Brother Earl, if he'll read chapter 9 of Isaiah and verse number 6.
Chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father.
Boy. And then Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21.
And she shall bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Here's a birth, and it's given a name. And of course, all births, if they're real and genuine, are given a name. And that birth from that day forward is known by the name that is placed upon it. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior. He shall save us from our sins. And that name has been connected to that birth, named with that birth, given a name. And then in Genesis chapter 21, verse 2 and 3.
Isaac.
There's a name. There's a great birth in that Old Testament there connected to Abraham. And the birth of that child is, he's called Isaac. That's the name that is connected to him, of course, which means laughter. Laughter. Isaac. And somebody said, well, why would they call him laughter? Well, what would you do if you walked in on a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman and saw that she just birthed a baby into this world?
Yeah.
You'd say, God sure is good. And then Hebrews 11 and verse number 23.
By faith, Moses, when he was born,
hallelujah. There's a name to be drawn out, connected to this birth as far as Moses is concerned. Aren't you glad you know these names? That these people are not strangers to you? How sad it would be to live in a world that doesn't know the name Jesus. How sad it would be to be raised up and not know the name Isaac and not know the name Moses. Glad that we know these names. And the reason why we know them is because they're not fictitious and they're not fables, they're not stories, but these are actual births of actual persons that are in the Bible that mean so much to us. They are named. And then 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20. God hath heard. Samuel. God hath heard. Every time she hollered for him, Samuel, come here, everybody knew. God hath heard.
Amen.
The Lord birthed a God hath heard. God hath heard. And then, Alan, I believe it's Ruth chapter 4 and verse number 17. Obed. Now we know what Obed means, don't we? It means worship. Somebody said, well, why did they call it worship? Well, what do you think they did when they went in? What do you do when you see the new baby? Look in the eyes of that mama that holds that baby for the first time. And that daddy that looks at that, and grandparents, woo, do they worship. They worship. And they all gathered around and had a worship. Why? Because this little old baby boy, and every time they heard the name Obed, they knew that worship had been born in that home. These are the names that are connected to these births. And can I just say a little application here before I move on, as I sort of build this thing up, that I really believe that these real genuine births that are in our lives will come with a name. And other folks will know the birth and they'll know it by name.
Yeah.
And they'll know that it is real and genuine, connected to that name, whatever that name may be. In my case, and in your case, one of those births might be named Salvation. Aren't you glad you got that? You're connected to that name.
Yeah.
That name, Salvation. For some of us, it may be that God birthed preaching in us. And it's got a name, a preacher. A preacher. But these names that connect us to these births, such as Isaac and such as Samuel, and so we can know them. And I believe when God births something in you, you'll know what it is. It'll have a name.
Yeah.
You won't have to guess what God's doing when He births a baby. Now I'm talking about these Bible births. They come with a name. But also, I want to look at these Bible births, and I want to say to you, not only are they named, but these Bible births that we notice in Scripture are needed. Now I'm going to ask you something. What would the history of Israel been like if there had been no baby boy named Moses? What would all of Abraham's promises and all of his wanderings in the promised land and all those other, what would have been if there had been no Isaac? What would it have been like? What kind of shape would the nation have been in during Hannah's day if there had been, and what good would all her praying been if there had been no Samuel? What would it have been like? What would it have been like? And the book of Ruth would have been nothing more than a tragedy. That would have come from nowhere nor went anywhere. It would have been a story of fable with a period. That would have been the end of it if there hadn't have been an Obed. But Obed brings to life everything that happens in there.
Yeah.
Oh, Moses gives deliverance. He's needed. If Israel's ever going to get out of bondage, if Israel's ever going to get liberated, there's going to have to be a baby.
Yeah.
If sinners ever get free, there's going to have to be a baby. If God's children are ever going to be able to walk emancipated, there's got to be a baby. They are needed. They are needed. And of course, the baby of all babies, what would this world be if we had not been given a son? If there had not been a child born, if there had not been a Christ child born in a manger, what a mess it would have been better off if none of us had ever lived and there'd have been no world to begin with. But thank God the thing that made sense of all of it was a baby born in a manger. Gave reality to everything. These are births that are real. And these are births that are named. These are births that are absolutely needed. We couldn't have made it to where we're at if there hadn't have been an Isaac, a Moses, a Samuel, an Obed, and of course, a Jesus. Aren't you glad for them babies? Them babies. Wouldn't you like to have little old Moses looked into them eyes, knowing what you know?
Yeah.
Wonder how you'd handle him. Be careful now, be careful. You don't know what's coming out of all that. Be careful. Huh? Yeah, well, you wouldn't handle old Moses like you'd handle a Walmart baby. Oh, no. Be careful. Wonder what you'd have done with old Isaac laying there. I'd have just said, I like him holy laughs. I'd like to just took old Isaac and sat back in the rocking chair. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Ha, ha, ha. Look here. Woo! Sarah, boy, I can't believe it. I'll give it to you in a minute. Oh, man, I'll give it to you. Oh, man, look at this. Woo! Great! Huh? That's something to hold and behold. Huh? Or to took old Samuel in your arms and said, "Boy, I probably won't be around when you anoint the king, but I was just thinking about what a future you got, boy. Wow." Hold that little baby in your arms. And they've stood there and looked over with everybody else. All the women was looking in at Obed. They called him Obed. Worship. And I'd have said, "Amen. No wonder they're calling you Obed, because worship always heads toward Jesus."
Yeah.
And you're going to have a boy named Jesse. Jesse's going to have a David, and David eventually is going to have a Jesus. Y'all be careful with him now. Be careful. He's needed. A birth is needed. It is of great necessity that God birth some people, these sons that are named. But you know, the thing that I want to emphasize this morning, I find back in Galatians chapter number 4, where Paul talks about what he calls an allegory. But he's talking about births. And he said, "But these things are an allegory." And of course, that's in verse 24. He says in verse 22, Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was that was born of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman by the promise. In other words, he's looking back there at these real literal births, and he tells us in verse number 4, "But these things are an allegory." And what that word allegory means is that they have a deeper meaning. Mm-hmm. In other words, Abraham's birthing of Isaac, or Sarah's birthing of Isaac, and the birth of Moses, and the birth of Samuel, and so on, the birth of Obed, these are not just, they are real births, but they have an application to your life and to my life. They're allegories, he said. They have a deeper meaning. As I look in verse number 19, Paul says something kind of staggering. He says, "My little children," the word children means born ones. Aren't you glad you're a born one? "Of whom I travail," that's a birthing term, "in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Now what he is saying to all those little born ones is said, you may be born again, but you need to get born again again. Now the problem with the church in this hour, here's where I'm coming to, is we have began to live off of death, and dead experiences and forms and formalities and programs and all that other stuff. And we've long since forgotten the births that gives life to the church. And I'm not just talking about the church as a whole. I'm talking about you as an individual. This thing is more than you just being born again, but this is God birthing you again and again and again with the things that He wants to be real in your life. In other words, it won't be real. Nothing will be real to you. It won't be any more than a Walmart baby or a Kmart baby of which you push the button and it says what somebody has put in there and programmed it to say, unless the baby's really been born in your life. In other words, I didn't just wake up one morning craving fried chicken, didn't want to go to work and said, "You know what? I think I'll preach." That's not the way it goes. You say, "Well, what happened?" Just as real as God birthed me in salvation, the Holy Ghost brooded over my heart. The Holy Ghost came into my heart. The Holy Ghost conceived in my heart a baby, and it had a name called preaching. And that baby got the swelling on the inside, and it got the rolling over, and it got the kicking, and got the turning. And I'm going to tell you, before long, I knew that something was going to be born. And my preaching has not existed off of some educational system or reading somebody else's outline or somebody else's thoughts or just getting up and teaching some. No, it was born. It has life in it. The Christian life is operating off the births that God births in you as to what He's doing in your life. He said, this thing is an allegory. He said, I want you to see something deeper in this than Isaac being born way back there and the history of it and even the spiritual aspect of it and Moses being born and being delivered, the children of Israel delivered and Samuel being born and anointing David as king, as important as that is, and Obed being born, bringing all of the book of Ruth together. And he said, I want you to see that there needs to be some births in your life, and some births in my life. And the thing that seems so absent in most Baptist churches where I go is that they're operating off of everything else besides a real, genuine birth. I've had young preachers ask me, they said, well, how do you pastor a Baptist church? I said, you can't, and I don't know how. It's just kind of like having babies. You got to wait on the babies to be born and just work with them. And that's where your life comes from.
Right.
Now, I'm talking about sinners being saved, but I'm also talking about people of whom God works in their heart, maybe to teach or being a witness or being a great prayer warrior or being a giver or things of that nature. These things being born into people's hearts to do certain things that if you tried to tell them to do it, it would be mechanical.
Right.
But most preachers are satisfied with the mechanics. If you're a good singer, just sing. They don't care if it's birthed in you. You got a lot of money, bring it over here. They don't care if it has anything to do with the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you, a real, genuine work of God is one that comes and lives off of births that take place in God's people. And what the man of God does is he allows that birth, those births to take place in his own heart, and then he looks out at those individuals, and what his prayer is that the seed of the Word of God will get into those hearts, and those individual hearts will have some births, whatever they may be, and that their life, their Christian life, will be energized and will live off the births of those babies.
Right.
Most churches you go into, You got all of those artificial babies that they went by Kmart, Walmart, and Toys R Us.
Right.
And they've got plenty of religion, and religion has to have those things. And they just come by and said, you see my new baby I got? Push that button right there. It'll talk to you. And you know, I got one. You even have to change its diaper. And I don't know why you'd want one of those. And I got one that'll sing, and I got one that'll record your voice, and all that. They got all them kind of babies. But I'm going to tell you, you can buy them babies, and the thing about them is they're pretty handy to have, because when you get tired of them, you can put them in the closet. And they ain't going to do nothing. You don't hear nothing out of them in the closet. Just lay them back there, slide them under the bed, or put them back in the box that you bought them with. They're not going to bother you anymore. They won't wake you up during the night. They won't need nothing. They ain't growing. Ain't nothing happening. And then when you decide you want to be mama again 3 or 4 days later, just go in there and pull them out of the box again. And just go through and say, listen, Dad, ain't that nice? But they'll be the same size, and there won't be nothing extra about it. They'll just always do the same thing because that's all they are. And our churches are filled with that. But I'm going to tell you what we need is we need to come in our services instead of coming with the intent that we're going to do something that we've already done. Come and say, oh God, would you birth something here today? Would you bring a baby alive in somebody's heart that the energy of this service will not be a program, but it'll be a new life that is living? And I tell pastors, I say, what you need to do is just walk into that service and look for life. And wherever you find life, that's where you go. Wherever you hear, feel the heartbeat and you hear the baby, then that's where you go. And what this is what Paul is saying. That he's saying all of these things about these babies being born are important. Not only are these babies born for you, and thank God they were born, Moses to deliver the children of Israel, and Isaac as the promised seed, and all those born for us, but thank God the Lord wants to birth some babies in you and operate, let you operate off the joy of that birth.
Yeah, amen.
Now, if you notice, when somebody really gets saved, that's called being born again. And what happens is, you say, well, man, what has happened to that person? What's happened to that lady? What's happened to that man? Well, I'll tell you what happened. There's a new birth in there. And they are living and expressing that new life. They're living off of that, wherever they're at. They can't just put that in them and say, well, I'm going to go away for a while and put that baby in the closet because I don't want it crying. I don't want that baby bothering me and I get out here in the store somewhere. No, the kind of babies that God births in you will work on you wherever you're at.
Right.
Huh? They'll see that daze in your eye when you're in the grocery store and say, what? So, have you ever had God work on the inside and a baby get to swell up and he's trying to tell you to do something? It may be to pray for somebody. It may be a smaller birth as you going to tell somebody that you've done something wrong or said. It may be a confession or it may be a call to do something or to go somewhere or whatever it is. But you know the Lord's a birthing something in you that's real, and you know that thing's a kicking on the inside, and you're going to have to listen.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Mom.
And somebody look in the eyes and say, what are you thinking about? And you're thinking, well, I'm thinking about what's working on the inside. There's something kicking in there. And then babies get to rolling over, and they get to kicking. And there's a birth, God wanting to birth something. Now, let me apply this as far as our walk with the Lord, how the Lord births, and I want you to see these births as a personal thing, and let's look back at these births. Let's look back at and I'm just simply laying a fact, but let's look back at Isaac. And I'm giving you my thoughts. Now, the thing that I like about preaching here is I always try to bring, the Lord just, he'll give me a new baby. Now, I very seldom have a baby. I usually have at least five or six or seven at a time. That's called a series. Now, I don't look for them. They just, wah, 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 they're all there. And I like them when they're born because I'm going to tell you, as a preacher, Brother Lester, have you ever went 2 or 3 or 4 weeks and there ain't nothing been kicking on the inside? Somebody said, what is preaching anyway? Is it a man getting real educated and reading a book and then coming in here and tell you what he's learned? No. Preaching is a man having a baby. How's that possible? Because what he'll do is he'll get this book out and I'm going to tell you he won't be no more than black on white. I've done that. So, Lord, I got to preach this week, and I ain't got nothing. And I'll read this, and I'll read that, and I'll read what somebody else said, and then I'll turn around and read it upside down, crossways and everything. I said, Lord, I ain't nothing. It ain't saying nothing. Oh, I could scratch a few thoughts down there, and I can even make a pretty good outline, but it ain't nothing. And then all of a sudden, I have been laying in bed at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden, the baby kicked. Woo! And get up out of there. And my wife said, what you doing? I said, I got to have a pen. And I get in and I write down my baby. And that thing just swells over. I might as well forget about sleeping. It'll just keep kicking all night long. And by the next morning, I'm looking all walled out. Why? Because I'm fixing to go to church and have a baby. And brother, I'm going to tell you, the church folks appreciate them live babies. Them things that's been birthed in the man of God's heart. And he gets up and he delivers what the Lord has spoken to him about. And that's what it's all about. And can I ask you this question? Do you have a little baby? You should have, but do you have a little baby named Isaac? You got your Isaac. Huh? Now, I don't want to preach Isaac. I'll probably preach him tonight, but I'm that little baby Isaac. to me, summarizing, like I say, I like preaching here these new babies, these new things, because y'all play with them and hand them around. Every time I get them back, you've dressed them up, and they look pretty good. I go preach them somewhere else. You'll always say, well, have you thought about this verse? Well, you know how I was reading over there, but A.W. told you what he said about it. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's some good shoes for that baby. I'll just put them right on there right now. And I'm here, I hear Brother Lester preaching on the CD, and y'all just holler stuff out at him. Brother Lester, try this on that baby. How's that? I said, yeah, that'll work right there. That's what I'm planning on this week. Get this baby going. But Isaac, to me, is the plan of God for Abraham's life. And I just want to ask you, has God's plan been birthed in your life, or are you just staggering around trying to find some plan to operate off from? You ever seen somebody just wandering around? Oh, they say they're Christians, and they say they're in the land and everything, but they got no clue what the plan is. You know why? It's got to be birthed. It's got to be an Isaac.
Yeah.
Or you ain't never going to. Oh, you said, but I got me an Ishmael, and I don't want to preach that, but that ain't the plan.
No.
That ain't the plan. That's the problem. That's the problem. Huh? You got an Isaac birthed in you that says, I've got the plan. It's working. God's plan's working in my life. Yeah. It's the only one I want.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. I thought about Moses, and I ain't really got this together, but I thought about Moses makes up the providence of God. Everything about it is providence. But it's birth. It's birth. Connected to faith. God's providence. I thought about Samuel. The purpose of God is birth. The purpose of God. Samuel is God's purpose and God's will. God's working as far as Hannah's concerned, as far as Israel's concerned, as far as David's concerned. I'm here to tell you, I'm glad that I've got a purpose. And it ain't my purpose as far as what I have drawn up, but God gave me a baby called a purpose. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm delivering my baby. That's my purpose. He said, I called you to preach. I just go around delivering babies. Giving babies. Birthing babies. Huh? My baby. Baby. Obed, worship. I'm going to tell you the reason why folks can't worship. They ain't never had a baby. Man, it's hard. It's hard to preach to people that ain't never had a baby. Because they just look at you like, what's he talking about? And a lot of them don't want a baby. But honey, I mean, that book ain't going to be nothing but information to you until the baby's born.
Right.
Have you ever read a verse of the Bible that you've read many, many times?
Yes, brother. Come on.
And then all of a sudden you read that verse and a baby's born?
Yeah.
Woo! You won't just read it. You run out there and say, Mama, look at my baby. She said, what are you talking about? Look at here what the Lord showed me. Look at that. Woo! That's good. It's great when the Word of God comes alive and breathes and lives and grows in you. Becomes your baby. See, that's all I do is I just look through. That's what I'm doing is I'm looking for babies. I ain't talking about Walmart. I'm looking for babies. And old Obed, man in a land that was so dry, and I mean times that was so dark and so dismal, all of a sudden worship was born. And brother, what a difference it was when you went to church on that morning.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, you can hear the rest of them out there, and they've been around the baby, and they said, well, it's bad to hear the news about Naomi. I said, yeah, well, we heard that. That's old news. Everybody living off of that old past. You heard about her two boys are dying. Did you hear about that? Oh, that's bad, ain't it? And then did you hear about that Moabitess girl didn't have nothing to eat? They brought her. They said she's out there in the field begging and just. I ain't never heard nothing about that. I mean, that's bad. That's bad. You say, yeah, I know, I heard about all that, but did you hear about the other day when it's all gathered together there and the little birth Obed was born? I said, no, we heard about that. No, you ain't. But those that was in there is having a time over. They said, whoa, we just come out of meeting and Obed was there. And what a time we had because he was born. I'm going to tell you, I love to be in the house of God when Obed's born.
Yes.
When I'm telling you, when Obed's born, the singing's really singing.
Yes.
When Obed's born, the preaching comes alive. When Obed's born, I'm going to tell you, God's people just have that look on their face like they're looking into a brand new baby's eyes. It's so real and so genuine. Bible. Earth. We live off from. And you know, babies never die. Oh, you said, yeah, I've been to funerals of babies. No, they live forever. If they're ever born, they're going to live forever.
Yeah, sir.
They don't die. And them truths and things that God births in your life and those callings and whatever it is, there are babies that when you'll be like old Abraham. You'd be sitting around 100 years old saying, look at this. And then he's 110. He's got that old boy out there. He said, boy, look at that. That baby's still alive. Aren't you glad for that? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, how long have you been preaching? I said, well, I don't know how you call it because I didn't know what a preacher was when I got saved, but I started preaching. I mean, I got me some boxes and go down on West 25th Street, and I didn't know what it was, but I'd get up and quote John 3:16. So if that's true, I mean, if I could say I've been preaching as long as I've been saved. But I do know this, it's a baby God put in my heart that I just can't shut up. That thing wallers on me all the time. My wife would say, why can't you go to sleep? I said, I'm trying. But I got me a baby, and it's a growing on me, and I can't shut it up.
Amen.
Huh? You ever do that?
Yes.
I have went and preached many, 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 many times, and God let me deliver a baby, and I go back home and go to bed, and that thing just keeps on talking. Huh? Living off the life and energy of a birth. But the sad thing is, most folks are living off of religion and church, and they don't know that they could have a new baby. A new baby. They don't realize what's working in their heart is a new baby. A new baby that will let them live instead of exist. Don't you like it? Especially, I said, them grand youngins, and they are grand, aren't they?
Yes,
I've got 10 and one on the way, me and my wife do. And so I tell folks that's why I dyed my hair gray. But I love them babies. Oh, I love them. Man, I love them. They just got so much energy. They got so much life. So much giddy up go. And you don't have to pump life into them. You don't have to get them up every morning and go. No. What you better do is get in shape if you're going to hang around them. I mean, because they'll work you to death. And babies, they're operating. You ever see an old sinner get saved? You don't have to, every Sunday, he's got a leak there somewhere. He's going down. He goes down. Where are you out trying to keep him blowed up? No, if he's got the real thing. You better watch out now. He'll run slap over top of you. Step all over you. He'll climb over your head and things like that. He's alive. And he's growing, and he's growing, and he's growing, and he's living, and it just changes everything in the home. Everything has to adjust to the new life, the new baby.
Amen.
That's the way it is with a Christian. Well, God will come along, and you'll know when he's ignited something in you. Your pastor talking about his other church.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going into his heart, but it sounds like he's had another baby.
Yeah.
Sort of like twins, I guess. Huh? But ain't that wonderful? He ain't dragging over there doing something because somebody told him to do. Well, I just got an opportunity. I guess I better go do it. If that's the way you feel about your child, adopt it out. I mean, my goodness. Don't keep it. That's misery. No. That mama's willing to sacrifice everything. Get up at 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 6 in the morning, change them old stinky diapers, feed them, do all that other stuff. It's that baby. Somebody said, "Preacher, don't you get tired of crossing the country and every mile and everything?" Well, it gets weary every now and then, but I just tell you, this. You get that little, Get that new baby. It's just so much alive. So much alive. Bible births. Let me put this that way. When's the last time God ever birthed anything? It wasn't you, and you knew he birthed it in you. And you were never going to get over it. That may have been a while, but maybe what he's saying to you this morning is, you need to quit trying to do all this stuff yourself and look for life and ask God to give you a baby. That baby may be a burden. You may be just trying to straighten them youngins out and try to get them to live right, and they ain't listening to a thing you got to say. You need a baby. It'll get you off somewhere praying for them, and it'll just swell and get big, and they won't have to come by and look at you moaning and groaning. But that baby will believe God. Huh? You might need a baby. You say, "Well, but the work situation the way it is, and I ain't got my stimulus, and none of that's come in. I don't know what to do." Well, maybe you just need a fresh baby that'll believe God. And you ain't got time to worry about the economy because you got to take. You're all focused on the baby. That's the one thing that'll get your mind off yourself. Everybody else, that baby running around there, huh? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need God to birth these things in you. And it'll occupy you. Even old grandma, she'll say, "Man, I'm telling you, they're wearing me out. Wear me out. And babies wear me out." Oh, that God would come in on his church. There'd be a travail. There'd be some pain. And there'd be a birth that you could hear the joy. Said she'll even forget about the labor. Woo! I'd like to have another one of these. And I'm saying, "Are you crazy? You want another one? Did you hear yourself screaming in there? You want another one? Oh, yeah, look at that. Give me 2, 3, 4. That's what I want. I don't want to operate off old dead religion.
No.
Lifeless operations. I like to operate off that life. It's breathing and living on the inside. Them Bible births. Let's stand by our heads.